Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Classic FM. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, country, rock, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one. It was on this very day, back in which year, that Anthony Foss, F-A-A-S, of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, was granted the very first U.S. patent for the accordion? Was that A, 1790? Was that B, 1854? C, 1923? Or D, 2001? The U.S. patent for the accordion. What year was that anyway? And question number two, it was on this day back in 1958 that which group made their debut on British TV on the Perry Como show? Hint, here's a snippet from one of their many hits.
Dream, 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 dream. Charms whenever I want you, all I have to do is dream, 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 dream.
Sound familiar? Who is that anyway? Chad and Jeremy? Or B, the Everly Brothers? Or C, Creedence Clearwater Revival? Or D, the Righteous Brothers? So who is this? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of January the 13th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1900, that Giacomo Puccini opera Tosca had its world premiere in Rome. The opera made its U.S. debut on February the 4th, 1901. Tosca's premiere in Rome, 1900, today. And it was 32 years ago today, 1991, that Sean Lennon's remake of his father's Give Peace a Chance was released to coincide with the United Nations' midnight deadline for Iraq to withdraw from Kuwait. The lyrics were updated to reflect concerns of the 1990s. Give Peace a Chance, Sean Lennon, 1991, today. Richard Adencel's Warsaw Concerto opens our classical music news. It was on this day back in 1904 that Adencel was born. Article title, Richard Edensel's Warsaw Concerto, Bloody Awful? This is published in ClassicFM.com. If you're looking for a piece of music that divides opinion, look no further than this work. Beloved by many for its Rachmaninoff-esque melodies and nostalgic sound world, it's also remembered for its repeated occurrence in Irish writer and comedian Spike Milligan's autobiography as, quote-unquote, the bloody awful Warsaw Concerto. Despite sounding like a full-blooded romantic piano concerto, the piece was actually composed for the 1941 film Dangerous Moonlight, a World War II love story with a sweeping soundscape to match the romance of the plot. The film's producers apparently had their eyes on Rachmaninoff. He, they thought, would be the perfect man to write the score. But if you're Rachmaninoff, you can afford to turn down the odd commission here and there. And so, when the first-choice composer said thanks but no thanks, the job of penning the music for Dangerous Moonlight fell to Edensel. Despite all that, it's fair to say that even he passed on much of that work, too. It fell to the arranger and orchestrator, Roy Douglas, to knit together the melodies and turn them into a fully orchestrated, heart-on-your-sleeve concert piece. The composer's unashamed use of indulgent harmonies and grand romantic gestures goes a great way towards explaining why the Warsaw Concerto remains hugely popular today. And while the music lives on, you would struggle to find a decent crowd of people who can remember the 1941 movie for which it was written. In the film Dangerous Moonlight, an American reporter meets a Polish airman and piano virtuoso during the Nazi invasion of Poland. When the pilot finally escapes to New York, they meet again and marry. But the thought of him going back to fight is not only personally terrifying to his new wife, but seems a great waste of his musical talent. And in music research and technology, we have this article titled, Scientists Say This Major Piano Chord Can Help Cure Nightmares. A nightmare-curing major chord? Could it be true? This is published in ClassicFM.com on the 28th of October, 2022, by Maddie Shaw Roberts. In a study conducted on patients who had been diagnosed with a nightmare disorder, 36 volunteers were invited to rewrite their most frequent nightmares in a positive light. Then, while they were sleeping, they were played a repeated piano chord, which they had been taught to associate with positive experiences. The chord was C69, C major, with a major sixth, the note A, and a major ninth, D, added. Thanks to this new therapy, the patient's nightmares decreased significantly and their positive dreams increased. The scientists write in their summary of the study, published in Current Biology. As well as causing poor quality sleep, nightmares are often associated with other health issues like anxiety, which in turn can lead to insomnia and bad dreams. During the COVID-19 pandemic, many reported experiencing more nightmares and interrupted sleep than usual. This study made use of a frequently used non-invasive method to treat nightmares called imagery rehearsal therapy, IRT. Patients are invited to rewrite their most distressing and frequent nightmares with a happy ending, and then to rehearse, telling themselves that rewritten narrative in a bid to trick their brain into overwriting the original nightmare. Separately, in 2010, scientists found that playing sounds or music that people have been trained to associate with a certain experience while they are sleeping can boost the memory of that stimulus. The study's authors wanted to know if they could combine the two methods. There is a relationship between the types of emotions experienced in dreams and our emotional well-being, said psychiatrist Lampros Perogamonforos of Geneva University Hospitals and the University of Geneva. The experimental group were played sounds while sleeping at home. They were each given a headphone headband to play the sound, the aforementioned piano chord C69. It played every 10 seconds during REM sleep, when nightmares were most likely to happen. The aim was for the sound to be associated with the imagined positive scenario, explains Sophia Schwartz, a professor at the University of Geneva. In this way, when the sound was then played again, but now during sleep, it was more likely to reactivate a positive memory in dreams. At the beginning of the study, the experimental group had an average of 2.94 nightmares a week. By the end of the study, they were experiencing 0.19 weekly nightmares. They also reported an increase in good dreams. And after 3 months, these numbers increased just slightly to 0.33. Perogamavros says, "We observed a fast decrease of nightmares together with dreams becoming emotionally more positive. For us, researchers and clinicians, these findings are very promising, both for the study of emotional processing during sleep and for the development of new therapies."
Me fui de vacaciones con mucha cerveza y canciones, un shot por la buena amistad y por las bendiciones. Y si el día se pone feo, tú me lo haces bonito. Ya no pido más deseos, tengo todo lo que necesito.
Bad Bunny's Me Fue de Vacaciones introduces our rock and pop music news. It's entitled The 10 Best Albums of 2022. This is published in Time magazine on the 20th of November, 2022, by Katie Lang et al. A wealth of new albums in 2022 pushed the boundaries of genre, theme, and sound. From seasoned veterans like Beyoncé and Kendrick Lamar, returning in triumph with fresh records and even fresher perspectives, to exciting young artists like Saya Gray, here are the albums we had on repeat all year. Coming in at number one, Un Verano Sin Ti by Bad Bunny. No other album had so much universal appeal, and let's be honest, adoration, this year than Un Verano Sin Ti. Bad Bunny's glorious fourth solo studio album about heartbreak, yes, but also a veritable love letter to his homeland of Puerto Rico, and a sonic tribute to the Caribbean diaspora. Driven by the musical styles of El Caribe and bolstered by elements of dancehall and techno, Benito firmly roots his album in the deeply personal, mining the universal experiences of love, loss, and supreme pleasure of being alive.
Thank you.
And the other best albums of 2022 include, at number 2, Ten Masters by Saya Gray. The debut album from the Toronto-based singer-songwriter Gray is not for the stadium. The album feels like a worthy inheritor of Frank Ocean's lo-fi masterpiece, Blonde. Gray layers her scratchy voice upon itself to build breathtaking harmonies, and the tones she rings out of her guitar and bass are impeccable. Coming into number 3, Renaissance by Beyoncé. This was a creative project born out of a need for escape, freedom, and exploration during the pandemic. The spirit of release is omnipresent in the album, a true celebration of dance music. Coming in at number 4, Chloe and the Next 20th Century. This is by Father John Misty. Misty has made a name for himself as the most polarizing and possibly most talented man in the contemporary folk rock scene, drawing on elements like big band, bossa nova, and film scores from the golden age of Hollywood. The album is a lush and lofty epic that spins fictional vintage narratives into songs. And at number 5, It's Almost Dry by Pusha T. If the rapper and impresario Pusha T is the Martin Scorsese of street rap, then It's Almost Dry might just be his Goodfellas. An immersive, a gangster epic that's brutal yet stylish, materialistic, and psychologically probing. Number 6 is IBBO's Sound Machine. This album features a seizing synthesizer reminiscent of LCD Sound System's best work. Electricity is filled with moments like this of breathtaking sonic rises and falls, astonishing cultural exchanges, and flat-out infectious dance music. Number 7, Big Time by Angel Olsen. Big is the operative word for the 6th album from the indie rock mainstay Angel Olsen. Recorded soon after both her parents died, it deals in big emotions, big musical arrangements, big vocals, big themes of love, loss, and depression, and perseverance. Number 8, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers by Kendrick Lamar. If this album isn't an epic-making masterwork, it's still a fantastically rich portrait of an artist in crisis. Lamar navigates familial pandemic anxiety, hypocrisy, and crushing public expectations with sharpness and poignancy. Number 9, You Can't Kill Me, 070 Shake. The New Jersey-born rapper and R&B singer, better known as 070 Shake, returns to her usual contemplations, the hardships and wonders of life, the ups and downs of love, over heavy beats and ambient synths. The result is a moody, sensual offering from a deeply vulnerable artist. And finally, last but not least, number 10, Motomami by Rosalia. Motomami is a triumphant amalgamation of diverse genres, blending jazz, reggaeton, bachata, flamenco, and pop. Well, there you have it. Time Magazine's top 10 albums of the last year, 2022. Aretha Franklin's Until You Come Back to Me introduces our local music news. It's titled Aretha, a Tribute. This is put out by the North Carolina Symphony. It's an upcoming concert. Broadway star Kapathia Jenkins performs Aretha's hits, including Chain of Fools, Amazing Grace, and Respect. That's coming up Friday, January 20th at 8 p.m. and Saturday, January 21st at 3 p.m. and 8 p.m. Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts, 2 East South Street, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27601. North Carolina Symphony, Lucas Walden conducting, Carpathia Jenkins vocals, and Ryan Shaw vocals. So go to ncsymphony.org or phone 919-733-2750 or 919-996-8700 for more details and ticket information. So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our second question, it was on this day back in 1958 that which group made their debut on British TV, The Perry Como Show, and I played a snippet from one of their hit songs as a hint. Was that A, Chad and Jeremy, B, the Everly Brothers, C, Creedence Clearwater Revival, or D, the Righteous Brothers? Correct answer? Answer B, the Everly Brothers. As noted in Britannica.com by J.D. Considine on December the 9th, 2022, the Everly Brothers' style of harmonizing influenced the Beatles, Simon and Garfunkel, and numerous country rockers. Born into a musical family, Don and Phil Everly performed as part of their parents' country music act before moving to Nashville, Tennessee, to work as songwriters. In 1957, the duo had their first big success with Bye Bye Love. Unlike the vocal harmonies in most early rock and roll recordings, which supported a moving vocal line with block harmonies, the Everly Brothers' vocal approach was based on the high, lonesome sound of bluegrass and Appalachian music, supporting the lead vocal with a moving secondary line to create the effect of intertwined melodies. When contrasted with the brusque insistence of a rock and roll rhythm, the duo's sweet, sad sound was almost as perfect a blend of rhythm and country as Elvis Presley's, and fueled a string of chart-topping hits, including Wake Up Little Susie, 1957, All I Have to Do is Dream, 1958, which I played as an introduction to that article, and Kathy's Clown, 1960. Their interlocking harmonies provided an aural template for folk rockers Simon and Garfunkel, as well as inspiring country rock pioneers Graham Parsons and Emmylou Harris. But even as their influence grew, the Everlys' popularity waned. States in America slowed to trickle after 1962, and their sales went down. Even though the duo maintained a large and loyal audience in Britain, their reign on the charts all but ended after 1965. Moreover, personal problems, including addiction to amphetamines, began wearing away on the pair, and in 1973, the group broke up on stage at a concert in California. In June 1983, they reunited and released the album EB84, which included the minor hit On the Wings of a Nightingale. The Everly Brothers were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1986. And the answer to our first question, it was on this very day, back in which year, that Anthony Fass of Philadelphia was granted the very first U.S. patent for the accordion. Was that A, 1790, B, 1854, C, 1923, or D, 2001? Correct answer, answer B, 1854. As noted in the 9/25/20 article, accordion History, Fun Facts, and Benefits of Learning by Cameron Ahmed in StageMusicCenter.com. The accordion was invented by Friedrich Buschmann in Germany in 1822. Since then, the instrument has made a significant impact on the world of modern and classical music. The accordion is similar to a portable piano. It is a wind instrument comprising two reed organs that are connected by folding bellows. Like the piano, the accordion hosts a keyboard to frame the melodies of the tunes. The accordion was introduced to the rest of the world during the mass migrations from Europe to other continents during, including North America, in the 1800s. Today, the accordion is an integral part of most musical cultures worldwide and one of the major instruments in many different music genres, including the European polka, the Latino polka from Mexico, the Argentinian tango, and the American Cajun zydeco. Some of the most renowned music composers of the 19th and 20th centuries, including Dmitri Shostakovich, Alan Berg, and Roy Harris, have done many major compositional works based on the accordion. Anthony Foss received the U.S. patent after modifications to the instrument in 1854. Today, over 75,000 people in the U.S. are certified accordion players. So let's close out today's program with a polka tune you may recognize featuring the accordion. Swiss accordion player Werner Thomas's The Chicken Dance. By the way, this song has a BPM, beats per minute, of 105, making it a perfect cool-down tune for your new workout playlist. Enjoy! Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program's also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. Call 919-779-1755 to make a piano tuning appointment. So long, until next time.